The Off the Ball Podcast Network. Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
Now then, you're very welcome back. So, Dundalk, 3-2 winners last night against Shamrock Rovers. I'm sure lots of you watched it on the TV. A fifth title in 6 years, second trophy in 2 weeks. And they are looking very much for the treble. Delighted to say John Gill has popped into studio. Thanks a million for coming in.
No, thank you.
Quiet time.
Yeah, a little bit delicate at the moment, but listen.
How did the night go, more importantly?
It was a good night. Listen, we celebrated, but we were in the gym today at 1 o'clock. All the players back in doing recovery, and that's the difference of this group. Yeah. Very, very dedicated, very professional. Yeah, we celebrate, but our focus now is on Sunday.
How was that session in the gym, though?
There was a few delicate heads. Some that played went into the pool, but they all worked. They all did a little bit, and that's what they're about.
Yeah, good.
We are joined as well on the line by club captain Brian Gartland. You can hear us, Brian.
Yeah, I can hear you, Grant. Thanks.
Did you make the gym session today at 1?
I did. I had one of the ones that didn't have the luxury of sitting in the pool because I wasn't involved last night. I wasn't on the pitch, so I had a bit of a slog on the treadmill.
Yeah. So, I mean, sum up the season, Brian. Obviously, you've been there a long time and you've seen players come and go and now managers come and go. This must rank up there as a big, big title for Dundalk amongst the many that you have in your back pocket now.
Yeah, it's massive. I suppose everyone is, and we'll say that every year. But I suppose after the uncertainty and the drama of last November, December, when Stephen Kenny leaves, that, you know, there's question marks over the whole squad, the staff, everyone behind us. So it's a challenge that you're sort of faced with. And when people question you, I suppose it always gives you a bit more motivation and that you want to rise to it.
The start of the season wasn't so good, and then things really kicked on. What's your memory of that early part of the season?
Yeah, I remember the noise from outside more so than that when you say it wasn't so good. Like we drew our first two games, but our performances were good. Mm. First game of the season, the football we played was brilliant at home to Sligo. And we peppered their goal and missed a penalty and a few different, you know, opportunities. We should have won. But I suppose results is what all people that look at the end of the day. And a few games going in, we played better than we had the season before. And we probably had similar results. But because of the, like I said, Stephen Kenny had gone, that people were questioning us and they were ready to jump on us and go at us. But that was all from outside. From inside, you know, we had steady heads and we had one bad week and we had one game we deserved to lose and that was it. But we were in control, you know.
It's a bit of a cliche, Brian, but that noise that you spoke about from outside the camp, was that an extra motivator for you?
Yeah, it can be. But it's also, you know, it's mental pressure that adds to it. But yeah, it does motivate you because when someone's knocking you or questioning you or ready to write you off, you know, you want to prove them wrong. You train harder, you just go into a different zone, you know, fight back nearly. So yeah, it can be.
I wanted to ask you both of you. I was just talking to John, Brian, before we went on air there, just about the congestion of the fixtures towards the back end of the season. And I'd seen an interview with you about a month ago where you'd spoke about, I think it was 7 in 21, and then it was going to be 10 in 31 days or something like that it was around that. So how difficult was that to manage your bodies during that time through European travel and everything to get to this stage that you got to last night?
Yeah, well, it does be mental, and in fairness, it wasn't just the end of the season. I think May, we had 8 games in May or April, one of those months as well. 6 in 1 month and 8 in the next month. And it's and then you have a month that's sort of down, and then you're up to the next 2 or 3 months where we had 12 and 38. But yeah, Europe and the travelling, that's where it can really kick in and affect you more so than the other months. And it's travelling takes it out of you, you know, no matter where you're going. And then you're coming home and you're travelling down the country for a game. And the big thing to add into that this season, that we weren't lucky with the draws, our 5 cup draws. We had Cove away, Derry twice away, Waterford, and now Sligo on Sunday. So you're racking up, I'd say it's a couple of 1,000 kilometres extra, you know, that if you had a couple of home draws. So when you add that into the equation and then you get unlucky with a few injuries, yeah, you need a bit of luck injury-wise because a couple more and you're struggling a little bit. But we've such a deep squad that, you know, we survived that. And you take 1-2 people out of the team, someone else comes in, they're just as good. We don't get weaker.
John, did you see a drop off in any of the games from the intensity, maybe the pace of the games, any of those around that spell?
I think after the Karabakh game, because it was such a long trip to Azerbaijan, Kevin, that was an 9-hour flight. We got off a plane at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we had to go down to Cove, play an FAI Cup game. These players are. Most of them are well tuned to it from previous European campaigns. There wasn't really a drop off. We have had to dig certain games out. Can't obviously play free flowing football. Fatigue does that in. But these players have always found a way to win games, and that's to their credit. And there are different ways to win a game and win games, and we've shown that this year.
Well, you went in a hell of a run after that initial wobble, which, as Brian says, wasn't much of a worry internally. 29 matches, 23 of them in the league, 27 wins, 2 draws. I mean, that was a hell of a run.
It was, and if you remember the game, we were heading towards a draw on a Monday night, a wet Monday night against Bowes, with a very young team, energetic team out, who were probably on the night unlucky not to get something, not win the game. Mm. We were fortunate to get a penalty in the last minute of injury time. And I remember saying to Vinny and to Rory Higgins and Stephen O'Donnell, that it's moments like that that can actually galvanise and salvage a season. Certain, like, pivotal moments. Mm. And since then, it's been 29 games. Full credit to the players. And then you've got Europe thrown in on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe we were a little bit harsh on ourselves in Europe. I think Brian said there, we were very unlucky with the draw. Riga were a decent side. Okay, we got through that. We would have liked to beat them over 90 minutes instead of penalties. Karabakh was a big test. Certainly in the first game in Oriel, the first half they were excellent, but I thought in the second half we were lucky enough maybe to go away with at least a 2-1, a 3-1 lead. Mm. Over there, listen, it was always going to be difficult. They're a quality side. You don't qualify for the amount of group stages that they've qualified for. And then we drew Slovan, who again some people maybe didn't give them the credit that they deserved. They've proven in the last couple of weeks they went to PAC. One, they've gone to Besiktas, or they beat Besiktas last week, so they're no mugs.
Yeah.
So we're probably a little bit unlucky with the draw, but listen, we put it all down to experience, and we'll gain a lot of experience from it.
Stephen Kenny's a tough man to replace, and we've seen plenty of big clubs struggle to replace big figures. It's not easy to be next man in. When did you first get a whisper that you might be going in alongside Vinnie Perth?
I was on a beach last November, sunning myself.
Good.
Like a beached whale. my wife and I got a text from Vinnie, and it was Stephen O'Donnell's wedding. I think Brian and the guys were all down at the wedding, and Stephen had rang. Stephen was supposed to go to the wedding, and I think he obviously pulled out. There was obviously stuff going on in the background, talks. Vinnie texted me, I think, on the Sunday. He texted me on the Sunday. I rang him back, kind of filled me in what happened. It was still a bit sketchy at that stage. We knew with the licensing laws that there might be. I said, listen, if I can help the club, because I'd been there previously, in a previous existence. And I said, listen, if I can do anything to help, I will. But I won't be back for 10 days. Came back 10 days later, met him and Mal Brannigan, who was the CEO then, got chatting to them, had a second meeting, then did a conference call with the owners in America, and checked it with my own job, because I had a decent, I have a good career outside of football, and had a very, very good boss who gave me, he said, listen, go do it. If you want to do it, go do it. Your job is here for you.
Okay.
So a company called AFM Ireland, I gave them a little plug because they've been very good to me.
Sure.
And that's what I've done. So basically just in the background, just again, I'm only a small cog in a big wheel. Vinny, in fairness to him, has driven the thing on, and the players have, the likes of Brian, the senior players, it's very much player driven. And they're a joy to be around. They're a super bunch of players.
And was any part of you, because I know the way you left before, you didn't love the way you were treated, because achieved good results and you thought you had more than achieved enough to stay on and get another chance for the following year. Did any part of you think, well, saw them? Was there any bitterness there with them?
No, because it always has a good affinity with the supporters. You know, it's a brilliant club. Now, it's some people will give out about its facilities and that, but it's a unique club. It's a community club. It's a very much community-based club. And I think anybody that goes there and plays, I think Brian will verify this, that it does grow in you. Now, I won the league on the Saturday, and then I saw my job advertised on the next Monday. My job was advertised. So I did leave under, you could say, difficult circumstances, and it was difficult to take at the time. But, you know, time's a great healer. You move on. You don't have regrets. And for the 3 years that I was there, the club was very good to me, particularly the fans. So I felt like if I could help in any sort of way to try and keep the continuity there, because I think continuity was important. The easy probably option would have been maybe to go to England, possibly because there would have been a lot of people interested in the job. Mm. There was a lot of takers for the job, but I think from the players' point of view and the club's point of view, they made the right decision. They took their time making it, but it was the right decision.
Brian, you might come in on that as well, because I suspect when Stephen made his decision, what you and the players, I suspect, wanted above all else was a model that had been working to be continued, not somebody to come in and tear everything up and try almost in an egotistical way maybe to put their own stamp on things.
Yeah, and that was exactly my worry. And in fairness to the club and the owners, like, Mike was on to me because I was down at the wedding, obviously, a few jars on me with the lads and finding out. And you know what lads are thinking, you know, sort of, geez, a bit of a shock. So, so with that, like, in fairness, they kept in contact, and then I relayed to the players and that what was going on and the story. So we were saying it's continuity that we want. John talked about it there. And if you go outside and you bring someone else in, doesn't know the system, doesn't know, we just want to keep the ball rolling on what we have. Keep that ticking over. There's no need to, I suppose, reinvent the wheel. Mm. And if you have someone else that comes in, there's a good chance and a strong chance they get sick of hearing the name Stephen Kenny. And they make two or three big decisions just to make it theirs, you know, put their stamp on things. And you don't know how things can go. And listen, the proof's in the pudding now with the decision that's made and keeping it going the same way that the league's done with the League Cup. And hopefully we're on the way to more trophies.
And how's it been for you, Andy? Because you're playing in a particularly competitive area. You've got Sean Hoare and Daniel Cleary and Kelly and Andy Boyle. Like, there's plenty of pickings there. So, I mean, you're fighting hard every day, I would think.
Yeah. Never stop fighting hard. That's my whole career, I suppose. But, the first half of the season was brilliant for me. I played 17 league games or so up until mid-June. And from them, yeah, obviously it's been a bit frustrating. I haven't played as much as I want. I've been rotated in and out and played five or six games over the last couple of months. Not as many as I'd like. Like, obviously, like any player, they want to play every game. But, you know, in the end, contributing enough and making a big contribution to the team. And, it can change quickly and you can be back in the frame another stage.
It's important the club captain isn't sulking in the corner.
No, I tried to be conscious of that. Now, I might have had one or two days when, you know, I wasn't...
It's never easy. It's never easy when you get dropped, is it?
No. You think at my age I'd learn, but listen, that happens and it's understandable. And then I've got to understand other players' point of view as well at times, you know, they'll be in the same scenario and that. And, we all experience it. Everyone's experienced it, apart from maybe two or three players at the club this year. So... that's life and it's part and parcel of football. But yeah, like you said, I just keep training away, I keep working hard, and so that when I do get put in, that I don't let the team down.
Yeah, John spoke earlier on as well, Brian, just about it's very much players led as well as the coach staff. Do you find there is that bond? And obviously it's got to be a two-way street, I suppose, where you're listening to each other's side when you go into Vinny, when you go into John, when you're chatting around how the season's going for you. Is it very much driven by yourself as captain and maybe one or two others within that dressing room?
Sorry, what do you mean in relation to...
I'm just saying in relation to training, the dialogue you'll have with the manager and in relation to games and how your recovery sessions are going. How's that dialogue between yourselves and the management staff?
Yeah, that's good. That's good, I suppose, you conferred on a few things. Generally, we have a system and what we've rolled with over the last, few years, and we stick to that. And, match day minus one, minus two, minus three, we have our protocol and procedure sort of thing. And we stick to that a lot. And like you said, like last weekend, I think myself and Vinny were talking about this week's training, and obviously we're going Monday to Sunday, so it's different to usual, and there was taught to do a few different things, and will we do a cool down today or we just have the day off? And so there was, there's good sort of communication there about things like that and how the players are feeling, how the legs are feeling. Are we doing too much? Are we doing too little? All that side of things. So, yeah.
John, how do you see your role? What's your role in there?
Basically, when I come into the club, I park my ego and my pride at the door. If I need to sweep a dressing room, I sweep it. I've done it. We go waitress. We make sure we leave the dressing room in a good place. I help with a little bit of coaching, not very much. I'm there to help out anybody, to maybe put an arm around maybe players as well, help staff, give advice when I'm asked for advice, put my tuppence worth in. Really, there wasn't much because it's run very seamlessly. Like, the club is like, it's nearly like autopilot, Joe. Like with this group of players, Brian understates, like, he's the leader and he probably leads from the front, and it is very much player driven. So you don't have to be, you're not going around disciplining players, you don't have to worry about players stepping out of line, you don't, because They come in and they work hard, and they're very focused. We have a good laugh. We've got a good training base up there, probably one of the best, if not the best in the country. So it's a good environment to be in. Mm. So I'm there basically just to, I basically do anything. I mean, I'm not too proud to do it. The pride doesn't come into it. You're there, you're part. I'm privileged to be part of a group. So whatever needs to be done, it's done. If it means giving the kit man a hand.
To put in there, sorry, a little bit, what John, he's probably understating a bit there, but what John, and maybe he doesn't know, what he's added this a lot to us this year, is organisational skills. In terms of being organised before games, set pieces, everyone knowing their jobs, things like that, it's something he's really strong on. It's something that, the emphasis has got bigger on this year, and it's all prepared before the game. Like, everybody knows their jobs now. If there was any question before, sort of thing, there's not now, and organisational, that side of things, and even organisation in terms of, I suppose, off the pitch stuff sort of thing, not game related that day and during the week and different things, John's been very strong with that, and that's been a big, when you have that, there's no questions to be asked sometimes, and there's no uncertainties there, because it's all organised, it's all there for you, it's all ready. So he's understating, I suppose, that measure of things, because he's brought that to us in a big, I suppose, proportion.
Yeah, there we are. Leave the humility alone. Brush in the dressing room.
Well, that's what I do. Like, honestly, that's Brian will tell you that when we play away, we make sure that we leave the place in
How important is that to you? How important is that to you as a staff and everyone?
You know what? I just think it means a lot. I mean, you're showing the visitors that you're a visitor. You're showing respect to their facilities. And okay, some of the facilities mightn't be great. You're up in Finn Harps and you're in a postage stamp dressing room, but we try to leave it. We try to have respect. The players have respect themselves, and I think as a staff, and we all do it. Vinny, myself, we're the last usually out of the dressing room. We usually sweep up. We've brushed. The kit man I bought him a brush and a dustpan. You might laugh, and it's done. We leave it. We leave it clean. And it's been commented to us.
Yeah.
But we aren't doing that to get plaudits. We're doing it because you're showing a little bit of respect.
And even Brian Gartland, he's not too big time, no?
No, Brian is. There's no big time Charlies up in Dundalk. And if there were, Brian would probably be one of the ones that'd be slapping them down. They're just not allowed. Even the young players. We have a couple of young players who've done really well, and it's hard for young players in that group because it's such a winning mentality there. Yeah. That young players might find it hard, but they've played some parts of the cup games. We have a good crop of young players, and even when we bring some of the 19s into training with us, they see the humbleness of the senior players, and that reverberates down to the group. And it's just, I said to you, it would restore your faith, because my last job didn't end too well. It was a bad dressing room, and I was done with football. I was on the beach last year, happy today. I have a boat down in the Shannon, and I'm going to spend a bit of time down there. But with this group, they've restored a little bit of my faith in the way footballers and football clubs should be run.
Right. What did happen when you left the club?
I don't want to go into too much detail. We got promoted with a very young team, and we probably, Pete Mann was the manager, we probably recruited poorly, Kevin. Mm. And again, it's amazing when you bring a couple of bad eggs into a group, how it can spread with guys who were very good the year before, but instead of becoming maybe leaders, they become followers. They follow their own people. And it didn't end well. It was a lot of bust ups on training pitch, and you have a lot of, it was well documented, and it was just, you lose a bit of faith in it. Look, yeah. I was in the game 20 odd years, and I'd never been in a dressing room like it was. Now, that was down to us, we recruited poorly.
Sure.
But there were some good people, like Stephen Elliott, excellent professional, great guy, strong guy, one of the guys that would have stood up and pointed a few years. We weren't the best team in the world, but we had done very, very well the year before with a very young team. Actually, 7 or 8 of that team were still in Drogheda now. We were doing very well. But it just didn't happen the following year because there is such a gap. It's like you say, the gap between the First Division and the Premier Division. And then there's, you go to Europe, even this group of players, there's a big gap as well.
Yeah.
Although this group of players, probably that gap is not as much. But when you do go up and you do get promoted, it's important, imperative that you get your recruitment right. And if you do happen to bring in maybe a couple of bad apples, it can... You can just see it disintegrating in front of you.
Sure, yeah. It's funny, the sweep in the dressing room after yourselves thing, Brian. I know the All Blacks do that famously, even Dublin GAA do it, and it's become almost one of those kind of cliche things that people outside of sport can almost roll their eyes off and roll their eyes about and say, oh yeah, you're sweeping the dressing room. You told us about the dressing room, why stuff like that's important, what you have found to be the differences between a good dressing room and a bad dressing room, what kind of behaviours get called out or don't maybe in a bad dressing room?
I think if you just have good, sound people, like, the dressing room's going to run well. If you don't, you're going to have people that kick up a fuss and are giving out about other players or you know, sparking off other players, you're having arguments, all that just follows on from the type of people that you have in the dressing room. So yeah, it's just a, like John says, it's a basic bit of respect for your people around you, people where you work with, whether it's the other players, the staff, the ground staff, anyone in there. Like, you can easily, if you've taken off your strap, and you can easily just throw it in the bin yourself, or you can throw it on the ground right beside you. Mm. You know, it's 5 yards away. So, you know, it's a mentality sort of thing, and you can, you know, you don't expect everyone to have it, but they can, if people lead ease and they do it right, and you see that everyone around you is doing that, like John says, people will follow suit. And it's just, you have a good dressing room, then you have good people. That's how they think. It's not just one or two things. It's a mentality and how people think then, and the respect for each other, and that goes from there. And then you don't have, you might have a few barneys and a few arguments sort of thing. You're always going to have that, but they're not going beyond that, and they're not crossing a line.
Mm. I suppose the thing to say as well, John, is this team aren't done yet. Mm. And everybody wants to do that treble. That'd be a huge thing for the club to achieve.
It would be, and it would be fitting for this bunch of players to do it because of what they've, you know, the core group of what they've done in the last 7 years. It's only been done once in the last 30 years. Most of the players are speaking to them. Garth is actually, him and Gary Rogers were the only two, I think, that were born the last time it was done.
Was it 89?
89.
Was it?
Yeah. And Garth was probably in Pampers at that stage. But
what age were you then, Brian? 15?
not what he was.
No, Gary Rogers was probably 15.
I'm
Yeah, but I can name that. It's so significant. I've tried to speak to the players about it. Like, you've a chance to leave a massive legacy.
Yeah.
And it is. So I was playing in the league that year for Drogheda, as it happens, and I can name that Derry team from 1-11 that done the treble. I remember playing against them and how difficult they were to play against, and you know, they were just a level above everybody else. And the fact that it's only been done, you know, once in the last, you know, 30 years says a lot how hard it is to do it. So these players are on the cusp of, you know, creating a legacy for themselves, their families, the football club. It would be an unbelievable achievement, and they deserve it.
They do. I mean, it's such a brilliant team. Like, even neutrals would agree. Like, I mean, this Dundalk team are a pretty special group, and it would really cement the legacy. Is it something, Brian, you talked about even in the aftermath of the league win last night, or was it more today that you mentioned it? But, like, it didn't seem like you were out kind of too heavy last night, and you're certainly not out tonight.
No. Yeah, listen, the league, I suppose we know what's been coming, and it was great to get it done, and a great way to finish it last night. But in terms of the treble, if I'm honest with you, 2015, we done a double, and we lost on penalties in the League Cup semi-final down at Galway. And then last year, we done a double, and we lost to Cove in the semi-final of the League Cup. And I've said it both times, like, it's a gripe of mine that something that we should be winning comfortably with the squads we've had, we've left two trebles behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always the aspiration. We had two at the end of the year, and it's kind of just in the, myself and other players that were there, it's a niggling thing that you should have a treble. And like you say, there's only one team obviously that have done it in the last 30-40 years. And you're that close that I suppose when you, It's the sign of this team and this squad is that you're never happy unless you have everything. So we set out to win every trophy. Like, people are saying the treble, we've one more trophy to go. We don't. We want to try to get that FAI Cup and that Unite the Union Cup, the new one. People might throw their eyes up or whatever, but we want that as well. We want everything that's on offer.
Mm.
So you don't know, and football and sport is crazy. You can change in a second. So you've got to cherish things like that and win as much as you can, because it can all go. It can, you know, you can go from top to bottom or back into the middle, whatever, in the blink of an eye with a couple of bad months and change of staff, change of manager, change of players, anything like that. So it can happen.
Sure.
There is talk of the treble in us. I think you'd be stupid if you're not talking about it with the squad and the talent we have.
Mm.
And but we don't go preaching it. We don't go saying it. Now we've got two in the bag. Obviously, we're going for a treble. You know, we could play it down and say no. Blah blah, or, you know, all the key cliches. But no, obviously, this is what we're about. We're about winning trophies. We're about trying to dominate this league, this country, and win as much as we can. So it's always been on our sights, and that's, I suppose, where we're still going.
If I can as well, you're talking about the group. Just to give you a quick, we all know that Sean Russell, how poorly he's been treated down in Limerick with his operation, and he's had to go. This group got together. Staff and group got together this week. We made a collection and made a significant donation to Sean Russell's plight to try and help him get that second operation that he needs. So not only are these players, you know, leaders on the pitch, in my view, they're leaders off. And that's what makes this group different. The fact that they even thought about a player. I managed Sean in Drogheda, a couple of lads have played with him. And it was the group that said, listen, you know what, let's try and do something to help this guy. Because it could be, you know, could be one of us maybe one day. So that sums
that's
up
brilliant.
The group.
Yeah.
Can I just ask one thing?
Just
on the European thing as well. You touched on it before. Brian's touched on it as well. And going out to Qarabag even, and the difficult draw that you had throughout that that campaign. But just a quick one to you both. How far do you think we are in this country of having a side that could actually go and, say, maybe get regular success, get into the Europa League, or even get to the Champions League? How far off do you think we actually are?
I don't know, Brian, do you want to go first on that?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think...
I'm judging it from the standard of the teams that you've played against. So there's two sides, Riga and Qarabag. I saw the two games and you actually played well in both matches.
Yeah, sorry, can you hear me? Cut off there a bit.
Yeah, we've got you there, Brian.
Yeah. Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, we played well, but listen, when you go up to those standards, it is a gap to bridge. You touched on it earlier. And it is a gap that we need to bridge. In this country, I think the main problem and the hindrance here, I suppose, is the standard of the league. If you want to get to that standard, you want to bridge that gap, you need to be playing at a higher standard week in, week out. Right? So the way, if you want the team in this country, whether it's Dundalk, Shamrock Rovers or anyone else that's going to come up in the next few years or thing, if you want them to compete at that level year in, year out, every year, you need a better league. You need a better standard and you need a better competition in it, right? So you need to be like that, playing at a higher intensity, better tempo, better thinking, better range of player. And when you go into those games, it's not going to be like a once-off or just for a couple of months during the year. It's be closer to what you're playing against every year in terms of the tempo. So I think that's a big factor for any team that's going to try to do well in Europe. That would help it if you want to do it every year. Now, it mightn't be a popular, I suppose, thing to say there, but you can do it. We've proved you can do it without it. But it would help. It would help the cause significantly. So that's when I talk about the league here. It needs to be improved. It needs to be... there's all talk of 8 teams, 10 teams, All-Ireland League. The only way to improve facilities, improve the league, is to market it better, to make it a better brand, to get money into it, to get investment in it, make it popular, make it fashionable. Money will then come, and sponsorships come. It filters down to the clubs. You've got better infrastructures, everything like that, and it grows. And it's not a short-term thing. It's a long-term thing. But I think, I think that's the only way for it to go. And that to me, if you want to do it year in, year out, I think that's the best way for any club to maintain a standard that high. Like I said, we've done it and it's been done on a once-off a couple of times. But to maintain that sort of thing year in, year out, you need to have a good standard at least for the top half of the league where it's really intense.
Yeah, we should talk about that another time, actually, in the months ahead when things calm down. John Gill, thanks a million for coming to the studio. Congratulations. Yeah. Brian, listen, fantastic. Great having you on there. Brilliant to get your thoughts on various things. And I think, is that number 5 for you?
Yeah, that's
fifth. Good man.
Good man.
Brilliant. Thanks. Amazing achievement. Congratulations. Thanks, Brian, for your time. Brian Gartland there.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers,
lad. Dundalk captain and John Gill in studio. Thanks, John. We'll take a short break.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.